Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
That's right. Welcome to the Monday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm not Greg Corumbus. I am Brett Winterbull from Radio America, but that is Jim Garrity from National Review. Hey, Jim, nice to talk to you.
Brett, good to be here, and I'll do my best to not call you not Greg this week.
That's right. That's right. That's a great start. Well, listen, I am dying for a fantastic martini, and I got to tell you, the first one that I got my eye on is this Chris Wallace, Michelle Bachmann kerfuffle. I know people have been talking about it. You know, it started with the question from Chris Wallace, are you a flake?
Are you a flake?
Then Michelle Bachmann answered. I mean, what does one say to that, Jim? You can say, are you still beating your wife? Michelle Bachmann answers, and I think she answers it pretty strongly out of the box when she said,
well, I think that would be insulting to say something like that because I'm a serious person.
What's going on here, Jim? Is it right to ask her if she's a flake? And she went on for a very long, a much longer answer, but how do you shake this thing out?
A distinctly non-flaky answer, I would assess. The best response so far this morning comes from Congressman and Senate candidate Jeff Flake, who's saying, what's the big deal here? That seems like a perfectly normal question to me. I get asked that all the time. But I think Wallace should have him as the next question. And then every question, every interview with Chris Wallace of every presidential candidate from here on out should begin with the question, are you a flake? I saw some people trying to defend the question. And I think the problem is that you can say to Michelle Bachmann, you know, you've made some controversial statements in the past and said, gotten some things wrong. You know, is this something you need to watch as you go forward as a candidate? Or there are lots of ways you can phrase it. Just asking, are you a flake? That's basically an accusation. And I think, you know, it's not surprising that she did not take that question well. I think what's kind of interesting is that here we are midday on Monday and people are still buzzing about it. I think there are a lot of folks who are generally friendly to Chris Wallace and think well of him as a newsman who just find the tone of the question and the insinuation kind of appalling. I think a lot of people see this as folks in the media determining who is a serious candidate. When in fact, you know, I think Michelle Bachmann carried herself very well on that debate stage a week ago or 2 weeks ago. And I think it's not surprising that a lot of people would say, wait a minute, she's the flake? Joe Biden, you know, who regularly rambles on and falls asleep during speeches, and she's the flake out of this field. So I think it's not surprising that there's been a backlash to this. And I think the assessment from some folks over at Politico's this morning is that she's now at a stage where the more people attack her, that actually raises her profile and helps her more than any of the criticism actually does.
What about the notion of the, and I know it's such a cliche term, but the quote, double standard that Newt and Mitt don't get asked this same sort of a question. Even Jon Stewart doesn't get asked that question.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that if anybody had given their critics and questioners a lot of fodder lately, I think Newt Gingrich should be pretty high on the list of folks who, you know, at least she didn't add, you know, her response did not include the phrase right-wing social engineering and, you know, thus defining her campaign that way. I think that those who see a double standard will see this as another strong piece of evidence for this. I think that as this campaign goes forward, that Bachmann is now in this new stage in which she is now distinctly not flaky and now a serious candidate. And now it's not just going to be, did she have a good answer? It's going to be, you know, is this an answer that people really want to hear and do this serious? She's now passing the seriousness test, which is fine and it's good and something every candidate's got to do. Now she's at the Des Moines Register poll has her at sharing the lead with Mitt Romney in Iowa. That's fantastic, but it also raises the expectations. If she doesn't win Iowa, at that point there'll be already be buzz and discussion of, you know, is she disappointed? Did she peak too early?
If nothing else, she'll certainly win the internet metric war, at least today in the wake of her announcement that she's running for president. I'm sure that will be a very Googled name and a widely watched announcement.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Well, listen, I think that's absolutely something fascinating to watch. It should be noted, by the way, he did apologize. Chris Matthews did apologize, and she said she wouldn't accept it. So it remains to be seen, I guess. I'm up for another martini if you are.
Be forewarned, this is traditionally the bad martini. I don't know what, you know, you think we might want to have like three good martinis in a row, but traditionally we usually address some sort of bit news that is not good for us, and I think we have an unsurprising but appropriate doozy of one today.
We sure do. Look, what caught my eye initially was the piece that was written over at the New York Post, Mike Tanner saying the actual size of our national debt is $120 trillion. And then you throw onto that the fact that the new economic numbers came out from the Commerce Department today saying that Americans spent at the weakest pace in 20 months. a sign that gas prices are taking a toll on the economy. It's the gas prices. It's Obamanomics. I don't think I like this martini very much. Jim Garrity, help this thing go down a little easier.
Well, you know, I think we can all kind of enjoy our bitter chuckles of recovery summer. I like to think of this as Recovery Summer 2, Electric Boogaloo. The good news is that after having been told that prosperity is just around the corner for 2.5 years, we are starting to hear a little bit more caution on the part of most Democrats. Not all of them. Debbie Wasserman Schultz famously declared that the economy has turned around. When you see real GDP only going up 0.8% and all of that, we're not surprised to find out that this is a turnaround. We may have done a 360 kind of turnaround where we were going down and now we're going down further. The other comparison, I think, was the idea that we're now in neutral. Now, neutral is not a terrible place to be in. It's better than further decline. But when you hit bottom, you tend to stop falling. So, you know, we feel like we've had the impact of hitting bottom in this economy. The only thing that's kind of interesting is that I'm particularly interested in is to see at the end of the week is the end of the quarterly fundraising period. Now, you probably remember there's a famous declaration of the Obama campaign that they're hoping to raise $1 billion for their reelection campaign. Brent, I don't know about you. I'm not sure there's $1 billion of donations left floating around in this economy. Obama has managed to. They'd love to donate more, but they're all trying to pay for their gas to head to the fundraisers, et cetera. So not surprising to see the economy continuing to struggle. And I think, you know, you could probably argue that Obama's real opponent heading into 2012 is the economy. For those of us who are skeptical of the idea that Obamanomics was going to be the be-all and end-all and solution to all of our economic problems, each bit of this bad news, we can kind of get a grim satisfaction in saying, see, we did tell you so.
Now, my question for you, Jim Garrity, is this. Was the car ever out of the ditch? We know that he famously declared repeatedly the car was in the ditch. The Republicans put it in the ditch. Did we ever get out of the ditch, or did we just go deeper into the ditch? How do we assess this on the famous car in the ditch analogy?
Brett, I'm starting to get a Grand Canyon kind of vibe from the state of the you know, and also, I don't know about you, but this is the worst driving I've seen since Toons's The Driving Cat, in which the car always went straight towards the end, the ravine, kind of like Thelma and Louise or something. It's generally bad. It's kind of funny. You know, Obama keeps saying, well, obviously we saw that famous chart of unemployment was never going to hit more than 8%, and obviously it's well above it, and we'll get new numbers at the end of the week, and chances are they're not going to be great either, so... You know, Obama would love to run on his record and doesn't really have much to talk about at this moment. That's why we're going to hear a lot about hopes and dreams and winning the future. And I guess it's easier to talk about winning the future when you're doing such a lousy job on even tying the present.
Oh, absolutely right. 100%. Okay. All right. Enough with that. That is a very bad martini. I don't want to ignore that. I'm in the mood for something a little more funky.
Get ready for that mid broadcast depression.
That's right. We were in the ditch. We're going to try to come out of the ditch here, but it still remains tied to very badly behaved government officials. I mean, I'm getting visions of something here as I read this story. A 95-year-old grandmother, great-grandmother, battling leukemia, goes to travel from Northwest Florida, heading up to Michigan, is taken behind the curtain in her wheelchair to TSA screening, where they inform her daughter that the woman had soiled her diaper and needed it to be changed for them to continue the security screen. I mean, what the heck are we? Are we talking about the United States of America in the year 2011, Jim?
Apparently we are. And it's whenever I see stuff like that, I'm reminded of that famous phrase. Apparently Barney Frank likes to do it. Deval Patrick used it at the 2008 convention. It's the tired liberal cliche. Government is simply the name we give to the things we choose to do together. Well, Brent, I don't know about you. I don't remember choosing to make a 95-year-old take off her adult diaper, okay? I don't remember this being a national referendum of let's make granny strip down. And it's one of those things where I think there is an enormous potential for a Republican candidate heading into 2012 to look at this, to criticize Obama administration, criticize the Bush administration, as kind of observe this is a ridiculous, degrading, and ineffective system of airline security. And that my Secretary of Homeland Security, who will not be Janet Napolitano, will go and tell him to scrap the system, go to something closer to Israel, go to something closer to other systems. We should not be humiliating American citizens for the simple act of trying to get on an airplane. That's, you know, I had my own bad experience with TSA this weekend. Apparently my suitcase gave off a whiff of dynamite or something like that. I got to get the special, you know, junk touching line and the usual experiences where really you like to have them at least buy dinner first before they do those sorts of things to you in the security line. My attitude is
I understand all this stuff is necessary, and most of these people are just trying to do their jobs. And one of the things that's kind of frustrating about it is there was no explanation as to why my suitcase suddenly emitted the odor of C4 or whatever it was that made the scanner go off or something. It's one of those things where you don't get any explanation. Sometimes they're polite to you. Sometimes they're not polite to you. Sometimes, you know, at one point I nodded to the guy and said, look, just do what you got to do. And he said, no, sir, under regulations, I have to read the entire statement to you. So I couldn't even get like a fast grope. I had to wait for my grope, which is, you know, there's something definitive about government, about the fact that we, you know, we can't even get our personal bodies abused in an efficient manner. That's something of the perfect example of government in the way the government works in my mind. So enormous potential there. These are the kind of stories that people who are not gung-ho into politics repeat to each other and illustrate that government is just, you know, gone wildly off the tracks and most of our governing class is completely, you know, ignoring the circumstances.
Well, I don't know that I can add to that in any way, shape, or form. I'm just thoroughly disturbed and disgusted by the story, frankly. Listen, I'm feeling a little woozy, like maybe it's time to get in the cab and head back to work. Jim Garrity, it's so much fun to talk to you here on the Three Martini Lunch. We had a great martini in Bachman's response. We had a very bad martini in Obama's economy. And now a very strange martini.
Hopefully the tomorrow's third martini won't be quite so ick-inducing.
Jim Garrity, let's do it again tomorrow. I'm Brett Witterbull.
Looking forward to it, Brett.
That's Jim Garrity from National Review. It's the Three Martini Lunch.